I just want to see the one act I want to see get my moment, you know, my selfie, my moment, my 10 seconds of my favorite song.
Yeah, my TikTok.
And then go home. Yeah, I don't want to do all the everything else. You know what I mean? Like you said, I don't want to sit through bands that I've not heard of because they're not on my algorithm or on my, you know, playlist or whatever. That's the struggle. That's the challenge. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Russ. That's Brian. We are basically, when you're hearing this, less than a week away from South Star. As we've mentioned before, Russ, unfortunately for us and for Russ in some ways, won't make it. He's got a family obligation out of state, not just out of town, but out of state.
Yep, I will not be able to attend, unfortunately.
That's all right. You need to go to that. But Brian, you and I are going, and as we have said before, you and I we're bad about saying yes to something 3 months ago and being sincerely excited, and then as it approaches, wishing we had said no. But I don't feel that way about this. I'm excited.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I do feel that way a little bit, but I feel that way about everything, man. This middle age thing, Barry. You were not joking 10 years ago, sitting around Camp Nut Butter, telling me and whoever else wouldn't listen about how this goes.
Uh huh.
Well, yeah, I get it now. I get it. And but no, I'm joking, but not. Like, this is kind of a thing in my life all the time, even if it's just a show here locally. Oh, God, I did say I'd go to that on Saturday, didn't I? Well, hell. And I'm pretty good about holding to my obligations. And then once I do them,
oh, absolutely.
Boy, am I happy that I did it.
100%.
I don't think this is unique to any of us. I don't think it's unique. But it's getaway day for all intents. I mean, we got to get going here in the next couple of days.
Right.
And since we last talked to you, unfortunately,
we've had some news.
We dropped in right there in the middle of a news cycle, and there's nothing really we could do about it. But we spent, I don't know, 15 minutes on Jane's Addiction and how we can't wait to go see him. And then 5 seconds later, well, okay.
I know. Yeah.
Out. See you later.
Literally that night. Yeah.
It was pretty close. Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That night was the incident, the fight, I guess, Dave Navarro and
Perry Farrell.
You've said Farrell.
Is it Farrell or Farrell? Why have I not known this after 30 years? Do you know, Taco?
I think it's Farrell.
I think so. That's all I've ever heard. Farrell is the other guy.
I know. I get confused. Anyway. So as soon as we talk about that, they're out. And I didn't know if they were a fighting kind of band. I don't think they are. Did you guys end up hearing what this was about? The in-ear monitors were all messed up.
That's what I did hear. Yeah.
And yeah, it's actually wild. You don't really think about that kind of thing. I saw like a TikTok or watch a TikTok video, a couple different things in other places too, where they would play the audio that goes into the ears as opposed to what you're hearing.
Right.
It's wild what they do and don't hear on stage.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you remember, was it several years ago, Adele's PA? Like, the entire PA went bad.
I guess
but
I do remember
in-ears, that. But her in-ears were still working. So she kept singing and, like, looking at the audience, you know, freaking out. And she's
like, what's going on?
Yeah, everything was fine to her. Those things are pretty cool.
I don't know if I ever even told you guys. When we were at Bonnaroo this year, early on, it's a friend of a friend's band, the Foxies, played on Thursday. Yep. And I went to that show because of the friend of the friend kind of thing. And the music's good. And she had the exact thing. She had her in-ears. It's the first time it's ever happened to me as a patron at a show. And she could hear the mix perfect.
Right.
And we couldn't hear anything, and it's this little small stage, but it's still a nice stage, and it's still enough people there.
Yeah.
My heart was breaking for her, and I was texting the friend of the friend. I was like, oh, my God, tell Julie. I was like, She did a great job, but this is, oh my God, I feel so bad. And they eventually fixed it and all that, but that's apparently what that was about with Jane's addiction. But anyway, they're out, they're done, and we have replaced, or they have, I should say, I'm sorry, I don't mean to take ownership of the festival, but South Star has replaced it with, which Taco broke the news to us, Rage Against the Machine's own Tom Morello.
That's pretty good.
Jesus!
That's pretty good. That's
tell strong. Us about, I'm even more jealous.
Tell
I'm
us about your
now.
Weekend now, Russ.
Yeah.
You were excited when you saw that, right?
Yeah, I was excited. Like I said, I'm even more jealous that I can't go now. It's like they just keep making it more and more enticing.
Yeah. That's pretty strong.
It is really strong, and I'm just going to say, I'm just going to flash it. You can't see it. This is his set list, all right? I know, don't ruin a show with a set list. Except if you want to, go take a look. Holy, that is going to be a treat of the weekend. Because that's basically, if you want to know what he's going to do at the festival this weekend, just Google around and you can make an educated guess. It's going to be good. Yeah. It's going to be real good.
We've talked a couple of times at Bonnaroo, they've had to do that, right? Where they've had to replace Mumford and they went and got Jack Johnson, right?
Yep.
I love that story. And it's basically because he answers the phone and they knew that he would.
Well, and he was coming anyway.
Yeah. And he was a great guest to hang out.
I mean, he was coming as like a guest patron, and they're like, That was about 2012 or 14 or something like that.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Wow,
that was a fun. Well, obviously not fun for.
Yeah.
Some.
So what do you think? Is Tom Morello just sitting around waiting on a phone call, and he answered, and so he said, "Sure." I mean, how do you think that worked?
I mean, I didn't. Steven and Brian, the guys who sort of book or the organizers, they kind of have a short list. You know, in a hip pocket of, you know, people who are touring, who are going to be in the area and who are amenable to taking a phone call like that. But, I mean, you can't plan for it. You can't hope for it.
No, Barry, you know, tell me if I'm right on this or if you've ever heard this, because I don't have the super inside on this. But there was some kind of late addition to our local festival, Riverbend. They had to add 1 year. It's not even name worthy, but the people I was talking to were saying there's like this little list, national almost database of these bands that will drop what they're doing because they're not really touring. I'm trying to think who it was, like Sister Hazel or something from the 90s. It'd be like a Jim Blossom.
Sister Hazel sounds right.
Something like that. And so they're almost like they had to fill it, and they just you call or you whatever. Get a hold, and there's like a database of bands that are willing to jump off the couch and come play a show. I think that's a real thing, right?
Yeah, no, I think it is. That's what I'm saying. And it may be, I don't know if it's the band or management or, I mean, we could find out. We could ask. We will ask. How does that sort of thing happen?
Yeah, we'll get deep into that one if we need to.
You know, because like as we've said, it's not a matter of you know, a guy and his guitar showing up. You got a whole crew. You got setup. You got all kinds of logistics. So good for them for getting a Tom Morello. That's like I said, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, and if I'm gonna have to just be totally honest here, the Jane's Addiction thing, I just needed, or to me, I felt when I saw the lineup that I just needed to get that out of, you know, that box checked from my list in my head. I don't really like them that much, or I would have already seen them by now.
Yeah.
Tom Morello and Rage Against the Machine are legends in my personal anecdotal mind and life. Boy. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen them outside of Rage. I can't wait. Man, that just made the day for me.
I would have been happy with either. I think the beginning of Ben's Caught Stealing is one of the great opening bits.
It is a classic open.
Yeah, it's a great open, and I love it. And, you know, Jane Says is a great song. We all know it. And then I was listening to some of their stuff last week when we were talking about it right after we got off recording, and I was excited. But, you know, this is good. I'm happy. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to next weekend. The closer it gets, that anxiety that we typically have, or I typically have, of I really don't want to make all this effort, and I really don't want to go, and why did I say no? I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it for a lot of reasons, partly because it's going to be a you know, not to steal their thunder, but kind of a mini Rue because of so many people that we know that are going to be there. Not just listeners to the podcast, but people we've met through Bonnaroo as well as industry people.
Yeah, I've talked to several that have nothing to do with anything that here locally that are headed down. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and Huntsville's a great city.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it's a scorcher in Tennessee.
I was going to bring that up.
Again,
yeah.
I mean, my goodness, we're back to night. I mean, I'm a summer guy, Barry. You know this. I go on to annoying levels on how much I love the summer and hate the winter, but 95 at the end of September. So I don't know. I haven't even looked that far ahead. It'll be fine, but that'll bother some people. It won't.
I'm looking now. I meant to do that. Okay, it's going to cool off some. It looks like, I think, 10-day. Keep talking while I'm looking. But for those of you who are not in this area, today we're recording on a Sunday morning. I just had to run to the store. It feels like walking into a blast furnace.
Yeah.
So if you're coming from far away and you think, oh, it's fall, it's late September.
It ain't fall.
Not yet.
It ain't fall, and I don't fall for it, but people around here do. It cooled off a couple weeks ago, and everybody got excited. Oh, my God, I'm so excited. It's like, no, man, not yet. It's 86 degrees right now. We're recording in the morning, late morning.
Okay, yeah, that was our fake fall.
Yeah,
quite
exactly.
There yet.
But it'll be 95.
Today, as we record, summer, whatever the 22nd is the actual official first day of fall. But still going to be a while before it gets little cooler.
That's right. Okay. Well, 95 today on the first day of fall, isn't that?
On the first day of fall, 95 degrees, yeah.
We might catch a break, though. It looks like low 80s next weekend in Huntsville.
Awesome. Good,
maybe
good,
a little
good.
Shower on Sunday. So
good.
I'll take low 80s all the time.
Every day of the week. And so I guess we could transition slightly into the Bourbon Beyond Festival that just wrapped up this past weekend. In those same temperatures.
Before we do, I just wanted, I mentioned specifically, you know, we're going to see some people. One of the people that we're going to see that I'm really looking forward to is Sue Marcus, and I want to give her a shout out. You guys both know her from Moon River. Mm-hmm. She's been so helpful.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you out of the show, Sue. That was my bad.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm ready. We'll move on. But I wanted to say looking forward to seeing her, and thanks to her for all the things that she helps us with. Not just access, but lining things up. And
just being super sweet and nice.
Yeah, she's
sometimes
awesome.
That's hard to find. Mm-hmm.
And I've told you why I'm so fond of her, right, in particular. Years ago, when I was still working for the newspaper, like with Bonnaroo and other things, we would get the lineup a little early so that we could record and know what we were talking about. And Sue was kind enough to get it to me early, and it was supposed to release at 10. And I got it all ramped up and ready to go at 10. And then I went away to another interview, and she sent an email saying, please wait till noon.
And you didn't
get
that
email.
Email,
so I I scooped the rest of the city. And anyway, I was so apologetic, and she was really cool, and we've been pretty good since. So I just
That was one of those. There was probably an initial Zoom meeting, like, what the hell happened here?
And then she was cool about it and professional, but I'm gonna imagine there was some yelling and screaming and name calling, and I deserved every bit of it.
Yeah. And then 10 minutes later, when they were on to the next single they need to push, they forgot about it. But
as we've said, it's not Watergate.
No, it's not.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing her and so many other people.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Yeah, so Bourbon and Beyond is going on this weekend, and that's one that we got all hyped up about.
When we were going.
Yeah, we were for sure going, and then pretty much in atypical form, by about a week later, we were not going.
Yeah, that one did fade a lot quicker than normal, and part of that is it's a little bit further of a drive, and then our September and all of our years had their own, you know, left and right turns, and my September got too loaded to do anymore. Pilgrimage Festival is going on this weekend as well. We haven't talked about that much, but that's up in Franklin near Nashville. That's a really fun one. Mm-hmm. There's still plenty to do. Forget the calendar. Summer's not over yet. And, but, boy, what a great lineup still. And we got a couple people on the ground. Wouldn't call them necessarily. I mean, I know we've got a little bit of correspondence over the time frame with Trevin and some others, but
he's an unofficial part of the show.
I didn't mean to throw him out, but like a few others I know that are there too that are not official correspondents. Yeah,
a roving correspondent, Trevin Bernarding, is there, and but you've been following sort of the Reddit threads, and it's kind of a tale of two festivals, a little bit, isn't it?
Which typical stuff, but it's predictable stuff. This city festival kind of setup, and it's not in the city. It's on the outside, having an expo center outside of Louisville, which was another reason I wasn't super excited to go. Forecastle was right in town, the river, pretty setup.
Forecastle's awesome.
You've talked about it, Barry. I unfortunately never went. But it's this typical downtown on the river backdrop of a festival, and just in theory,
right?
We all love that idea. Whether they all work out is another story. But this is not that. And the pictures of it that I see, it's not an aesthetically pleasing place.
That's this fairground,
this expo, this expo center, with fairground, whatever you terminology we want to use to call it, horse track over there and that kind of stuff. So it's not a real pretty place. It doesn't need to be. It doesn't mean you need to. The stage is amazing looking, but I'm just using Reddit and X Twitter as a barometer, which I always do that, understanding that you're getting the extremes. But Saturday, from what I can tell, boy, it was packed. I mean, it was a sold out day,
right?
And because of Zach Bryan, the guy fills football stadiums without even trying. I mean, they just barely put them on sale and let you know, and boom, he sells out Mercedes-Benz and Falcon Stadium in Atlanta in 2 seconds. So that was a predictable kind of crowd. And I saw some people talking about how they released some additional Saturday onlys recently. And so they're like, well, here we go. They're just trying to squeeze every little bit out of that lemon, which they would.
Sure.
If they can legally, fire marshally get away with it, they will, and they did. Getting water, getting to bathrooms, getting in and out, trying to get a spot where you can see the stage. A lot of VIP at this festival, a lot of different levels of accelerated admission outside, for lack of a better way of putting it quickly in my head, than just regular general admission. And that sounded horrible to me, and I can... I've been there. Right. I've been in that situation. That's miserable. So if they've made it to where just being a regular old GA is that difficult, I don't know. I wasn't there. But we're hearing from other people. I'm also seeing texts. You can speak to that, Barry, a little bit, what you've seen from Trevin and others. That's not true for everybody.
Yeah, so just as we were going, starting to hit record, I reached out to our roving correspondent in the field, Trevin, and he is there. He's there with a mutual friend, and I how's the festival is my question. He said, it's really good. I like the improvements from last year with the additional two stages. And then, of course, we ask, and he has reported it. He said on here, Trevin goes to all kinds of festivals. He travels they went to Canada as a family. You remember earlier this summer. Mm-hmm. So he's pretty experienced. And what I like, and the reason in all seriousness that I like to reach out and get his opinion, is because he sees it from different ways. Sometimes he likes going VIP. Sometimes he likes going GA. Sometimes he likes camping. Sometimes he doesn't, you know, so he does them all kinds of ways. And for Bourbon and Beyond, he said he's mint VIP, which I'm assuming is probably platinum or whatever you want to, it's the ultimate you can get. But then his comment is, it's almost a necessity at this festival if you want to see the headliners.
Well, that kind of solidifies the stuff I was seeing from the from the GA types. That kind of gives that some credibility from that they're actually having it's not just a couple one-offs on social that we're having some issues.
Yeah, we had heard that. Remember, we had several people on and even some comments. You know, it depends. He said he was pretty close for Zach Bryan last night. Had to see what all the hype was about. I don't know this name, and I'm going to butcher it. Is it Coy or Coey? K-O-E Wetzel? Don't know that.
You got me.
But he said that's been the highlight so far. Played the same time as Sting. That's been his highlight. So gonna have to look that one up.
Well, that's the problem with city festivals. They're their own little potentially magical or disastrous little one-offs. And you know, Midtown in Atlanta, like 20 years ago, old Midtown was just like that city downtown. And I've been there when it was dangerous feeling.
Yeah,
you know, and like this, there's just too many people because you're. You can't sprawl, you know, you can't, the footprint is the footprint.
Right.
And especially when you're in, now this expo center might be different, but when you're in the city, that's even more so. Like, yeah, you can leave the gates, but where are you going to go?
I've always, and I have not been, but like Jazz Fest in New Orleans.
Boy, that looks like a total nightmare, but.
Exactly.
Logistically.
It bottlenecks so many different, I've heard people who've gone and. You think, oh, I'm going to pop over from this stage to that, and you can't because you can't get, you know, across. And that's I'm kind of with you. That's a nightmare. That's what I loved about Moon River, our festival here. One act would end, you literally could pick your chair up and turn or do a 180, you know, and you're watching the other one if you wanted to, or you could walk a few. You know,
or just get away from the mess, and and you could still hear the music from almost anywhere you were at. I think that's what we're looking at here with South Star next week.
Agree. And that's what I loved about Forecastle.
Yeah, getting around is really so. I mean, some of them work really well, some of them work sometimes, and others they don't. Like Sunday here, as we record on the final day of Bourbon and Beyond, hopefully we don't miss something going on today, but I bet today's a lot different. I mean, and real quick, my God, before I forget, from founder of Soberu and Harmonium, Patrick Whalen, got a hold of me. He's there with all his crew like they always were, unsolicited. He hit me up the other day. Thank you so much, Patrick, he said, I got a guest pass for you on Sunday only. And I was like, man... Oh, my God. Let me sleep on it. Can I sleep on it? And he said, sure. It didn't take me long to realize we're leaving in a few days. I don't need to be driving to Louisville. But
have you ever been
to
Louisville?
No.
It's too late now. I mean, you've missed it. But that's about as easy a five-hour drive as you'll ever make.
I didn't think of things existed as an easy 5-hour drive. I'm not big on the roads as far as traveling.
I get
real anxious real quick, but
I hear you. But that is maybe the easiest 5-hour drive that I know of. Anyway, I'm sure there's others, but
sure.
You know, by comparison, my daughter lives down in St. Simons, hence the hat, and it can be a 5.5-hour drive, and it's the worst.
No, all 5 and 6 hour drives are not created equally.
They are not.
You're 100% correct.
It is the worst.
Yeah,
5.5 to 6 hour drive.
I get that. Somebody gave me like this back door way, which you wouldn't think would exist still in America now with how much our phones just tell us what to do. But to get to Miramar and Destin in Florida, and it was this. Right on the nose, 6 hour drive, which is like saves you like 45 minutes or something.
Yeah.
But it was like the most valuable 45 minutes to an hour of my life.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that was a great 6-hour drive. And I never thought I would say that. So I
That's
totally
funny because we used to go down to Gulf Shores, not every year, but on the Atlas that I kept in the car.
Rand McNally.
When you hit the, what is it, Alabama line, or you're almost, and you start, you know, doing those, you think you're there. I've written and circled it on that map. We're still not close.
Yeah, that panhandle can get tricky.
Don't be fooled.
Yeah, that panhandle can get tricky.
Again, is yeah. still another 2 hours or something, or an hour and a half.
Well, when Patrick first got a hold of me, and we'll throw it up here also too, the Subaru, they go around all over the country.
Yeah,
we've
that's
talked
really
to
cool.
them before, and by now you're pretty much aware of what they do, but they have the Sober and Beyond set up there, and so they're doing it like they always do. And, boy, thank you so much, Patrick. That was a really cool thing.
That's really cool he reached out, because we've said it and mean it sincerely. That was one of my favorite interviews.
Yeah, Patrick knows what – Patrick brings it. Like, he gets everything. He understands media. He understands the music industry. He understands sobriety and addiction, and I mean, yep. dude's kind of got that kind of stuff cornered. Yeah. But thank you so much for that. And
it was a meaningful episode, but he's very good too. So I mean, it hit all the boxes that showed.
Yeah, he's had to talk in front of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Many, many, many times. Yep. But when I started to look at it. I talked myself out of it pretty quick, but I had a day to think about it, and I was like, okay, we'll record the show early, and then I'll go to Nashville first, and then I'll head on up. Just couldn't talk myself into it, mainly because Soul Asylum, one of my favorite bands from the 90s, one of these random bands playing at Bourbon and Beyond, one of the many that just littered all over that list to make it so desirable to so many different people. They were on Saturday. If they were on Sunday... Guys, we would have done this show several days ago, and I would have gone up there because Soul Asylum never plays. They never tour. It's really just Dave Perner, the one lead singer that used to have the dreads in the 90s. You would recognize that picture if you saw him. They were on Saturday, and because of that damn Zach Bryan mess, he couldn't get me in on a Saturday. But
nice. It's still nice of him to think of you.
This NPR piece, which sometimes it's hit or miss from NPR. It can be, you know, pretty in-depth reporting or fluff stuff. I'd put this closer to the fluff stuff. But it was, and I don't, do I have it? What was it? So give it proper, of course I don't have the writer on it. But so many music festivals have been canceled this year. What's going on? That's the headline.
Mm-hmm.
And it start at first I think I'm always going to read a piece like this, and it's really long, and it's all the same stuff for a few minutes. It's dollars, it's production costs, it's all the things we've already spent all the time on here and that many people already know. But what it started to get into, and this I thought was interesting with the Bourbon and Beyond happening this weekend, which is one of the most diverse festival lineups since any, you know, think of your best Bonnaroo or the most curated Bonnaroo you can think of. Bourbon and Beyond is right up there, if not one of the better ones of the last 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this is projecting on the back end, which I'm fine with projections and a little predictive kind of storytelling, if you will, rather than just say, well, festivals are so expensive, that's why no one goes. All right, great piece, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it got further in, it's talking about how algorithms are starting to dominate all of our lives, and more so the younger, the more the algorithm dominates your life. And I've found them to become terribly annoying, that everything you do, from TV to music, from Spotify, everybody's paying for Netflix, everybody's paying or for insert whatever it is you pay for here, and it's all telling you what you want to watch to a certain degree. I mean, it's kind of an episode of Black Mirror a little bit. Like, here's this. It's all the words. It's a little annoying. It could be a little maddening. It's a little scary. It's AI in its own way. It's machine learning. And the point of this was that especially the younger people who need to fuel the admission, the attendance, mm-hmm. of these festivals, is that these diverse festivals that have so many different acts that all of us have always embraced festival types, the algorithms are putting people into their own echo chamber bubble of entertainment that they're not reaching out. They don't care that Dinosaur Jr. Now, nobody young is going to care that, so that's a bad example. But they don't care that the ex-ambassadors and My Morning Jacket are on the same day. And right. War on Drugs was the day before. And then Chapel Roan was on Friday. Because their algorithm has not allowed them to get outside of that space.
Yeah.
And it also goes back to reference what we're near and dear to our heart, Barry, and to yours, as at least as a consumer, if not more, Taco, is traditional media. All the traditional ways of consuming, from MTV, radio, television, all the traditional dying old dinosaurs, whether you liked them or not, they didn't give you what you wanted. They gave what they thought a more broad audience wanted. So I thought that was an interesting kind of projection going forward the next however long. Will people value a diverse, deep lineup? And then more importantly, will they pay for it?
Right.
Was kind of the main thought on this piece. I thought that was worth listening to and then thinking about.
I think that's interesting. I also, and I've heard, and we'll get into it kind of to tease. We're going to have a couple episodes or an episode coming up in a while, several weeks from now, with industry. And this is industry professionals. Sure. And this is what I want to talk about. But one of the things that was sort of hinted at to me is, again, with the younger and is the, I don't want to say the attention span. That sounds like such a, you know, old man.
But it's true. But go ahead. I get you.
And it's not in it. It's more of, I just want to see the one act I want to see, get my moment, you know, my selfie, my moment, my 10 seconds of my favorite song.
Yeah, my TikTok.
And then go home. Yeah, I don't want to do all the everything else. You know what I mean? Like you said, I don't want to sit through bands that I've not heard of because they're not on my algorithm or on my, you know, playlist or whatever. That's the struggle. That's the challenge.
That's almost a different segment than even what this is even referencing over here.
Right.
That's a whole nother wrinkle and dynamic to the exact same problem and question and discussion from this piece. But you're 100%. You've got also the come with me videos are called. Come with me while I get ready for the thing, whatever.
Right.
And they're not actually doing it. They're not really actually doing anything. They're going to just enough time to make a minute video, and then they're out of there.
Yeah.
And there was some chatter on Reddit right around festival time, Bonnaroo festival time, where somebody was, one in particular, it doesn't matter. It's just an example of kind of what we're talking about. Somebody did a food review. It was real clear this person didn't go to Bonnaroo before, didn't go to Bonnaroo again, wasn't there for any length of time. They were there on an influencer kind of connection of whatever it was to do. It was ridiculous. But if you didn't know any better, it was fine. It was a finely produced piece along this guy or gals or organization's content creation. I hate that word content, but content creation. But it wasn't representative of what Bonnaroo was.
Yeah.
It wasn't true, and so that was the argument of all that. That's not what we're talking about today, but...
No, but isn't that interesting? Because the thing that we, and again, Brian has been to every Bonnaroo since the first one I've missed four. But the thing that was great that we loved about Bonnaroo when it first started and over the years is the fact that it was more than just the schedule.
Yeah.
It was this whole thing. And they've worked very, very hard to create extra things with the camping and the VIP and the what you do around the clock. And now it's almost, it's like it's gone too far. That has become more important, you know, to some people that they go do their food review, you know, and do their own influencer thing than the event. So that's kind of...
It's a pretty wild dynamic all the way around. And, all of it matters to the equation. I don't know who's involved on these conversations, but people way more powerful than us in this power structure, but it's all relevant to the discussion. And another portion of this I thought was interesting is that and this is something I really looked. I don't know where this initial thought came from. Once upon a time, but it turned out to be pretty true that millennials, once upon a time, there was a lot of reports, research showing that the materialistic America had faded, and the experience America had kind of taken over with that generation. Give them all the grief you want. People consider me a millennial. My math puts me right in the middle. Whatever. You call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. But I always thought that was real and true, and a very good quality of that generation is that the experiences meant a lot. Well, eventually it turned into fake experiences and make the 1 minute video. Look at my experience. It's not real. Then it turned into that. That's kind of where that's rolled into. More projections and predictive nature of this piece is with now we're to the point where young people have been connected since birth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that change, millennials didn't, they didn't have this stuff when they were 10. So this is changing a whole dynamic of, it's bringing more social anxiety. Social interactions are becoming less important to younger people. Quick quote from the piece, but it says, not to sound all kids these days, but kids these days. Research finds that members of Gen Z drink less alcohol, do fewer drugs. Sounds good so far, right? They have less sex and fewer partners and are lonelier. In his best-selling book, dude goes on and on from there. All that is just little pieces of information that can go along with they're socializing less. They're not drinking alcohol and doing drugs and doing all these things because they're smarter or healthier than us or other people. They're less social.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Festivals.
Yeah, they're not drinking because they're not at the bar because they're at home on their phone or whatever.
They don't have a righteous plight against alcoholism.
I gotcha.
They just don't. They're not in the positions to do it. So there's good and bad to come from this.
Yeah.
And the ultimate socializing event of all time, maybe, is the festival.
Yeah.
Whatever the back to Renaissance days in the Roman Empire. Whatever the big get together. Chariot race, this is the ultimate socializing event. And if they're not socializing,
they're not going. That's a what good do we point.
Yeah. So I
you that, did a you did for again for listeners who may be new. Brian also does a podcast, Stone on Air, and you did an episode years ago that about beer and craft beer and how craft beer was impacting the traditional. Beers, and I think it's kind of relevant, though it maybe is a little too niche. But the idea was, and Taco is the perfect example. As we know, Russ is a PBR guy through and through.
Craft beer from Milwaukee, right, or from Wisconsin, anyway.
Yeah, craft beer from PBR.
But your point, Brian, and not to put words in your mouth, was that the craft beer industry or world had done was the drinkers were only interested in the next. What's the next craft beer? What's the next? It wasn't like they were discovering, whatever.
An old classic brand or something. Or
and
something.
Sticking with it. Yeah. They were 2 months later is like, what else are you doing?
It's almost like, I don't remember specifically, but I work in that industry as well. Right. So I know a lot about it. It's almost like that took the form of technology. Old is bad. Good. New is good. Only new is good. All old is bad. Which is an infuriating place to live when you're a vintage retro kind of guy like all of us on this call, on this podcast anyway.
And so the point was for the brewer, who makes, let's say he makes a really good strawberry, whatever, IPA. Well, he can't bank that.
Look at Russ's face.
I know. I'm with you. I'm with you.
I don't want a strawberry IPA either.
I'm just pulling that out. It's a citrusy.
Yeah.
So that only, it's not like, he says, okay, this one did really well. Let's brew.
So let's make more of it.
More and more and more. No, the crowd is ready for the next one.
You better
whatever the next one is.
It better be better, too. Next time, better have more alcohol in it. better have a cooler label, better get a good review from somebody. And yeah, all this is relevant.
That's tough, man. That's a tough business model.
It is. And it's destroyed itself, by the way. That was years ago. It's destroyed itself as well as seltzers and everything else. We could do that for a while, but we won't.
So, yeah, to bring that back to the festival world, I mean, as you said, it's not just one thing. There's no way. It's not just cost. It's not just ticket prices, though those are factors. The audience has changed. We know there were too many of them 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Probably still too many of them, yeah.
Probably still too many. And yet, when we left Bonnaroo this year, we all said, it's a renaissance. It's back. You know? So it's kind of...
We're certainly a little bit slanted there, but I've gone backwards on this. On this show we've talked about it, and I've talked to just whoever wanted to hear for years. Oh, this is getting too expensive. The more I look, and I'm using relative terms because you have to. So I'm looking at everything else and how much things cost, and I look at festivals, and I actually think these aren't This is not an unreasonable price at all.
No.
We're talking $260, $250 on the starting end for South Star this weekend. That's right there where everything else costs. And if you want to get mad at somebody for staying market level competitive, well, then, you know, go to Reddit and talk about it. But that's not how, you know, you stay market specific on certain things, or at least market rough range. A lot of these things I don't think are that expensive. Well, I went and saw a damn movie yesterday. Probably should just let for a blur. Beetlejuice 2. No spoilers. First time I've been in a theater. Barry, Taco. I mean, probably. I bet I'm forgetting about one. Decade and a half.
Yeah.
2 decades.
I'm with you.
Something like that.
I can't remember the last time for me.
And luckily nobody was in there. I actually, great time. You want to hear about it? Listen to the next Stone on Air podcast if you're bored, because you'll need to be bored to listen to it. But it was $28.
Wow.
Dude, I mean, I got some popcorn and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I went ahead and, I mean, I didn't, I could have made it a little cheaper. But I didn't walk away mad, but I just thought, hey, $28, man. If I want times that by four, bring a few people with you, and you're talking about $120 a day. Well, that's one day admission at South Star. Sounds fine to me.
So, I mean, I was going to say that the other thing that the festivals have done, and again, Bonnaroo included, is this a la carte type of thing. We've learned several things. You can spend as much money as you want to spend, and you can make it your event, and people have money. So this idea that it's too expensive, I get it from a cost perspective. Like some of these festivals... the break-even point, again, Moon River, we know is as the, they've hit the pause button because 12,000 people no longer paid the bills.
Very few of them are pulling much of a profit out of any of these, Bonnaroo included.
But as a fan, the idea that, you know, I've got money. I want a VIP experience. Back to Trevin at Bourbon and Beyond. He could have not paid that money. He chose to. You chose to get the popcorn and the Coca-Cola, and you know, and it enhanced your experience. So
and it added to the bottom line of what I spent. But it was, and I think what, and this is a, you know, off topic comment, but I think what corporate America is realizing is that a lot of Americans, a lot more than we might have realized, have money, and have money to spend.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who don't. And I would put it on a large scale. And this is a socioeconomic conversation for a podcast that does something different than what we do. But there are plenty of people who don't have money, but there are plenty of people who do.
Well, you remember when they started with their Roll Like a Rock Star, what was it, $10,000 or something?
Yeah.
You
know, bring in on a tour bus.
The three of us are like, who's going to pay that? That's the dumbest idea. And nope, somebody put their credit card down.
Yeah.
Did it without blinking.
Yeah, that idea specifically didn't hang long, but it grew from there into other experience-driven, dollar-driven things. And they work.
And they told us it was not a failure. It just wasn't big enough. You know, it was like, So eight people got to experience it.
Yeah, we have too many $10,000 takers over here.
So how can we do it that have more people? So it wasn't like it was a bad idea that sat empty. It was just not grand. It wasn't big enough. We'll see. The market always seems to adjust, right?
It does, and I don't like when people are like, oh, it'll correct. Market corrects itself. Well, the market shifts. I don't know if it, quote-unquote, corrects itself. Right. I'm not sure if anything ever gets corrected at all. One more quick just thought from this, and it spent like one sentence on this. It made me think about it more than this piece talked about it. But what's popular amongst the people who are – that we're hoping the industry, to be attending these festivals. We've talked plenty about it, but the jam band early on, and then EDM is huge now. We've talked about that so much, it's boring me. But I forgot about this. The little blurb, right for a stretch, of where all the Noah Kahn-ish types were all the most popular thing going, and Lumineers, Avitz, Mumford, you know, the suspenders and the stupid, like, you know, pilgrim-looking clothes.
Alice Cooper used to, the rock bands with a banjo.
Yeah. The just third
annoyed
banjo.
Annoyed him to no end.
Dude, there's so many jokes on this. It's so funny online if you want to just find some memes. But there was a little stretch where that was what it was bringing in. That was a millennial thing more than anything. I love that stuff. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's fun sing-along.
And...
I was the hey ho guy. Yeah. Remember that meme?
Yeah, everybody's haying and hoeing all the way to the bank here.
Clap and stomp.
Clap and stomp. And so that was going on but that was a short window, but maybe 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's blended into EDM. So the point of that was it's bringing all these factors in. What are kids doing? What will they be doing? Millennials ain't that young anymore, man. I might be one. They're tired. They don't want it. They're not young. We still sometimes as a collective society say, oh, those millennials are middle age. We gotta be looking Zoomers and whatever the name they've got this week. And so it was like, well, what will take the place of EDM?
Yeah.
Because something will.
Yep.
EDM's not going to stay there for forever.
No.
So what happens after that? I thought it was really interesting to just chew on. Doesn't mean anything next year. Doesn't mean anything 5 years from now, potentially. Maybe 10. Oh, yeah. 100%. These cycles just burn and churn. And once these 20-year-olds who are doing drugs and going to EDM, sorry, that's what us 20-year-olds were doing at jam bands, and that's what the 20-year-olds were doing at Lumineers. They're going to get tired of pretty lights. They're going to be 33 and be like, oh, my God, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. I got a 3-year-old at home.
Yeah. Then doesn't mean you still don't love what you loved.
Right.
But then what comes next? And do we have the infrastructure of a generational infrastructure to be able to keep it up? I thought that was one of the better thought stories I'd looked at in a while.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm old enough. I can remember, rap, hip hop, just was everything for 15 years. What, 2000, late 1990s to 2010, 2015, and I can remember having conversations with festival organizers, especially the ones here, like, who are you going to book in 10 years, you know, because right now you still got your classic rock acts that they could book here. It was hard for me to imagine a classic, gangster rap doing a festival for 50-year-olds. You know what I mean? That was my jam back in the day. Now I'm 50. I'm going to, go listen to, a classic version of N.W.A., or whoever.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You got Big Boy at the Star level.
I know. It's come around and we can see it, but it's around. Very, very small, right?
Yeah.
It's not a, I just remember having that conversation, trying to look into the future at, where you're, especially for the kind of festival we used to have here, which was basically, you either got people on their way up or way down, and the classic acts were a huge part of what they would book. So it's kind of similar to your point.
Yeah, it kind of feels like pop, Chappell Roan, Taylor Swift style pop. Yep. Is, I mean, pop music's always going to be there. In some form or fashion, pop music is always, since my lifetime, you know, yep, starting Madonna, Lady Gaga, Chappell, Taylor, whatever. Kind of feels like that might be what the next rebirth explosion, maybe. I'm projecting and making stuff up, but
yeah,
time will tell, and I'll be here for it.
And the Noah Cons, you know, like you said, that didn't see that coming.
Maybe boy bands will come back next.
Yeah. Boy bands. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Boy bands in their 50s.
Yeah, I'm not really here for it. Even though I could take some New Kids on the Block any old day, I guess.
That's fun. Man, I love a good pop song. I don't care. I pick on me all you want, but I think a good pop song, corny, whatever, the cornier, if as long as it's good,
reason why it's pop is popular music. It's popular because it's good, it's catchy, it's fun. Yeah,
exactly.
And I, you know, back to the middle age thing. I mean, now that I'm the biggest Chappell Roan fan in the world, I had to stop myself from going to buy the 1 year anniversary double LP vinyl release of The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess. It's the peach pinkish colored vinyl, and I saw it like, that's beautiful. The cover of the album, yeah. I'm still Chappell crazy, even though it's faded. And it's like $60. And I was like, well, I just spent $30 on Beetlejuice. I don't think I'm going to go buy a record today. But I really, really wanted to. And so I do think, you know, pop music is fun. I wouldn't have said that 10 years ago, but yeah, it certainly can be.
I don't know why I'm saying this, because it's apropos of nothing, but you mentioned $60 double vinyl. I happened to be at Cracker Barrel last week, and they have a really nice new vinyl collection.
They do.
Really? Unbelievable. Yeah, everything from Led Zeppelin to Taylor Swift to Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah. The old country store has new vinyl in it, huh?
Yep. You can get your pecan log and your Led Zeppelin vinyl.
Yep. Led Zeppelin's Oso, the reissued version.
All right. What else, guys?
Speaking of vinyl, I think I mentioned this. King Crimson actually just put out a new, I think it's a double record. I haven't picked it up yet, but I listened to some of it. It's a live show from 1982 that's I think from like South America, but it is like, you know, the 80s King Crimson beat era, you know, that we're gonna go see
here. Yeah, I only know that because of you breaking the news to me the other day via text.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
All right, guys. Well, we, Brian, you and I were hoping to have some interviews. I know we'll have some stuff from next weekend down at South Star in Huntsville. Hopefully we'll have some band interviews.
We'll throw a Sue in front of a microphone and a camera if we have to, darn.
We're going to do something, exactly. So, all right, Brian, see you next Saturday. Russ, we'll talk soon. We won't have another episode. We'll have to figure that out, because we will be in Huntsville recording. So sometime
we'll make
after
sense
that,
of it.
Yep, we'll figure it out. All right, guys, have a great week. See you soon.
See you guys.